Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next week at Charlestown Road. Roger, school is back in session. That's hard to believe.
It's there. You know, there seems to be two seasons that when you go to the store, you may not have a calendar, but you can just tell what it is. One's Christmas. Of course, now we're thinking Christmas starts in July because the way some stores do it. But then back to school. You walk in stores, and there's a list from the local schools, all the things you need, and there are everything you can imagine all lined up, ready for mom and dad to buy, and just that's the season we're in. And you had a great lesson Sunday about God's back-to-school list, and other than book bags and notebooks and rulers and things like that, there are some principles and character qualities that we need to have as we go back to God. Why don't you just kind of revisit that for us a minute?
Sure. We rooted it in the book of Proverbs. As I was trying to think about exactly how to really connect with our youngest of hearts who were paying attention in the auditorium, I landed in Proverbs. One basic reason was I wanted them to have their Bibles open and for it to be easy for them to follow along. And so we just contained ourselves to that little section of Scripture. And one of the other challenges when you're specifically addressing, let's say, school-age children is to make sure that you don't lose the adults from the very beginning. Well, you know, I was in school a long time ago. I don't need to pay attention to this. And Proverbs chapter 1 helped mightily along those lines. From the very beginning of the book, Solomon says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." I'm afraid a lot of times when we feel like we have arrived and we've got a lot of wisdom, we're done learning. And that's exactly the opposite of what this exceedingly wise man says at the beginning of the book. We all have much to learn. But one of the wonderful things about Proverbs is if you've been walking with Jesus for 50 years or you're 15 years old, there are things, powerful principles you can learn. And so I just kind of lumped this into a sort of list. As you said, some principles, some character traits. Again, Solomon helped me know where to begin. He says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And so there's item number one. And we talked about packing truth and integrity, humility, the courage to say no, kindness, self-control, honesty, good work ethic, contentment, meekness. These are the sorts of things that Solomon says, "My son, don't lose sight of these. If you walk on your way with these things, you will be secure, your foot will not stumble, and the Lord will be your confidence." That's what we want for our kids as they go back to school.
So that brings us to our first question as we kind of talk about these things today. And that is, why does that matter? I mean, we talk about what's going to happen in school. What happens in school happens in school. What happens at work happens at work. That phrase, "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens in church stays in church." And so why on a Sunday do we talk about what's going to happen on a Monday?
Yeah, particularly Proverbs 1 through 9. I mean, if we had time, we could just walk through the first 9 chapter of Proverbs, and that answers the question really, really well. Why? But just a couple of nutshell things. In chapter 1, Proverbs begins with a goal, kind of a mission statement. "To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth." You look or listen to those words, that is what is missing, number one, in so much of adult society and modern culture. And if we're going to shine as lights in the world, this is what we have to help our young people unashamedly do and be. Wisdom and instruction, insight, wise dealing, righteousness, justice, equity, prudence. What Solomon does from there after giving that mission statement is to begin to show the value of these sorts of things. He will go on in chapter 2 and 3 to emphasize, listen, this is more valuable than gold or silver. If you've got a house full of silver, but you're a fool and you die a fool, you will have wasted your life. If you've got a house, multiple houses made of gold, but you make a mess of your one and only life, you fail to guard your one and only heart, then you will have missed the point altogether. And so over the course of those first few chapters, he gives examples like, okay, sexual temptation. There are going to be times from the standpoint, he writes, my son, there are going to be times that you stumble right into very serious temptation. In order to be successful in defeating that, you've got to lay the groundwork now. You don't wait to figure out what you believe when the temptation is all around you. You decide now, I'm going to fear the Lord. I'm going to be a person of integrity no matter what. And I love how he rounds off that first third of Proverbs in Proverbs 9 and 10 by giving us this example of two women, wisdom and folly. And a simple way I would suggest of looking at that, maybe you're listening with a teenager on the way to school right now. A simple way of looking at this is, all right, I've got a teenager walking the high school hallways, and on one side of the hallway, wisdom is calling out. Listen to me. Follow me. Trust me. On the other side of the hallway is folly, saying the good life is over here, and there are lots of people your age who are with me, and look at how much fun they have. Why Proverbs? Well, it illustrates for me, I don't have to make every mistake in the book to know certain things are really bad ideas.
I think a New Testament passage would be Colossians 3:17, where there the apostle says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Being Christians, who we are. And so when we walk out that church building, we're still a Christian. When we walk in that hallway, we're still a Christian. When we're at business, we're still a Christian. And so why do we talk about things such as money? Why do we talk about things such as home? Why do we talk about school? Because that's where we are, and we still maintain the faith of Jesus. We don't flip a switch. We don't say, once I leave the church building, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Anywhere and everywhere, you're to be a follower of Jesus. And that's why on the Sunday, we talk about what happens on Monday. It's very important things. Well, you know, the book of Proverbs is often just categorized as practical advice. And is that all it is? Just advice. And, yeah. you know, advice is kind of like, I wrote something back the other day, is kind of like a nose. Everyone has one and they think theirs is the best.
Yeah.
And so if it's just advice, I can do it or I can just skip it.
Yeah. It is certainly wise advice, wise counsel, but it is so much deeper, more profound, and eternally more significant than, you know, just a series of tweets. If I'm just scrolling through Twitter or, you know, just scanning headlines. I mean, you listen, for instance, to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, where Solomon says, keep your heart with all vigilance. This is not advice as much as it is punchy, memorable statements that have great gravity attached to them. And that comes through loud and clear in the second line of verse 23. From your heart flow the springs of life. These are short, punchy, memorable statements that are leading us to, for instance, Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of your feet. One of the best ways to teach anybody about outcomes and consequences and ripple effects is to give them examples. And in many ways, that's what Proverbs does. It says, okay, in a sense, let's walk down this path. Let's say that along the path of life, I was to take a left and go along this ridge. Where is that ridge ultimately going to end? I referenced Proverbs 7 earlier, where Solomon gives this classic example of a young man going down a street, and suddenly there is a woman who seduces him. And in great detail, Solomon paints this whole situation. I think the very end of that dialogue perfectly answers your question. Is this just advice? You know, take it or leave it. He says, this man gets himself in such trouble, he does not know that it will cost him his life. What we have in Proverbs is not just folksy, take it or leave it bits of collective wisdom. This is the stuff of life and death.
And I would go just a step farther than that, too, and say it's inspired by God.
Absolutely.
2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God. And so either in our Bible, it's all God's word, or we have tidbits here and there that man has written, and it's not from God. That's the two conclusions. Solomon was the author, but Solomon was inspired by God. And Solomon was given this gift by God. Solomon was given a choice of anything he wanted. He chose wisdom, wisdom from above. And so when we read the book of Proverbs, although it sounds just like advice, and you can go to some bookstore or get on the internet and see these self-help books, and here's 10 ways to raise your kids, 10 ways to save money, 10, you know, just list and list and list about everything in the world. And you think the book of Proverbs is just another one of those, but it's inspired by God. And that's where we need to understand. This is where it goes to a different level than any other piece of advice. This is heaven's telling us what we need to do. Now, one of the verses you use, and it's one of my favorite verses in this book, is Proverbs 23:23, where it says, buy truth and sell it not. God's wanting us to hold on to truth. But that little expression, buy truth, he's not talking about going down here to a bookstore and buying a Bible,
yeah.
Okay? They didn't have such things back then. So what's meant by that?
Yeah. I love phrases like that that get us to maybe slow down a little and think about the words that are being used. We've got similar phrases in Proverbs like pay attention or give thought. I mean, you just think about those phrases. How do I pay attention? There's not attention currency. I don't carry attention coins in my pocket. But what words and phrases like that get us thinking about is the fact, okay, I have a limited amount of attention, and I'm going to choose where I give that attention. I have a limited amount of thought capacity. I've only got so many things I can think about in a given day. And so scripture, particularly books like Proverbs, encourage me to be careful about what I give my thoughts to. Well, I think that's the same sort of thing here. Buy truth. If I'm going to buy something and I'm wise, the way that Proverbs is encouraging me to, it speaks to, number one, my desire for something, and number two, what I value about it, what I'm willing to sacrifice in order to get it. Some things that maybe are good, and some things that are better, and some things that are really, really good, right? But I hold truth as more valuable than anything else. We've got good examples of that in Scripture, right? We hear Joseph in Genesis chapter 39, who is being greatly tempted the way that that young man in Proverbs chapter 7 was. But Joseph buys truth. He values truth. He has made up his mind before the temptation comes, I'm not going to be the sort of person who sins against God. He has bought truth, and he values that more than out-of-bounds sexual gratification. There are lots of examples of that in Scripture, and here in Proverbs, we are being encouraged. Value truth. Be a person of truth. Tell the truth no matter what, and if you do, your steps will be secure. You won't stumble. You won't have to look over your shoulder wondering about whether or not you're going to be caught. The biblical word for that is integrity.
Absolutely. You know, we instead of the word buy, we may use the word acquire or simply get truth. And it's in the Word of God. Jesus said something like that in Matthew chapter 13 in a series of parables about the kingdom. And he talked about a man coming across a treasure in the field, realized the value, sold all that he had so he could get that. And so the idea here is come to God's word, come to God's wisdom, and stay with that. That makes all the difference in the world. Well, one thing we really didn't talk about in your lesson, but it's a huge concern for a lot of parents. It's a tragedy in way too many places today. And that is when the college student goes away to a university, so oftentimes that's the end of their faith. That's the end of their walk of God. Statistics just show that time and time again. A child growing up all through high school, he worships with mom and dad, but then he goes away to school. After 4 years, he comes home with a diploma, but he has no interest in God whatsoever. And why does that happen? And what can be done to prevent that?
Yeah, I mean, books could be written on why that happens. Just a couple of thoughts. One immediately springs to my mind from 2 Timothy chapter 4, where we've got someone described by an inspired apostle as forsaking what he knew to be right because he was in love with this present world. And Scripture certainly has a great deal to say about that. I mean, we referenced Proverbs 4, guarding your heart. We read about Christians in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 who had had a love, but they had abandoned that first love. They weren't holding that love primary. There were people who had traveled with apostles and decided that they wanted to turn their back and go back to the world. But the passage that really, I think, maybe most consistently or concisely describes what you're looking at is 2 Peter chapter 1. When you describe someone who, okay, I've been away for 4 years, I come back and faith is just gone. Well, that is what Peter is describing in 2 Peter chapter 1 as ineffective, unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, lacking certain qualities to the point of being nearsighted, blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. What a sad, sad description. And it's not just a hypothetical possibility, right? We see young and old men and women who at times tragically slip in that direction. And so, okay, to the young person about to head off to college, or maybe the young person who is living and listening to this episode even from a dorm room a long ways away from home, I'd really encourage you not just to read, but to deeply think about what the Holy Spirit prescribes in order to avoid that pitfall. That's 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Just like your body needs fruits and vegetables, vitamins and minerals in order to be healthy, your faith, you take it with you and you don't put it on pause, you don't put it on the shelf, you don't leave it in your hometown, you take it with you and you supplement it with virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Because if you are practicing these things and they are increasing in your life, you'll be able to go through that crucible of college and come out even a stronger disciple of Jesus.
Absolutely. And college is not necessarily the death of every faith, because there's a lot of people go through it. They come out strong. They do well. But there's challenges. There's lots of challenges. And that's what we put before our listeners today. When you're away in a dorm, you don't have mom banging on your door Sunday morning saying, time to get up and go to services. You got to have some self-discipline. Do I believe or do I not believe? You're going to be sitting in classrooms where there's godless professors who mock God, who ridicule the Bible. What do I really believe? Do I believe this guy because he has a few letters after his name? Or do I believe the God of heaven and earth? And you'll see people who are away from home for the first time, and they're smoking and drinking and doing stuff that just off the charts what they're doing. It's just like the doors have been opened up and they're running wild for the first time. Immorality is rampant. Binge drinking is off the charts in college campuses. And so a lot of people say, okay, it's freedom. I can do this. The child of God must remember, I'm still a child of God. And when this is all said and done, do I want to be ruined or do I want to honor my Lord? And so those are some personal things a person has to look at. Why do I believe? Because mom and dad have always taken me, or because these things are true? And so these are discussions that begin not when you drop your child off at the campus. They begin in junior high and high school, and you work on these things. It's not up to the church to do all these things. The church can do its part, but it's up to moms and dads to instill these faiths, to challenge them with questions. What would you do in a situation like this? And then you have a discussion, and you talk about things, and you try to get them to see the value of God's word. Powerful stuff for things we need to talk about these days.
I appreciate you revisiting it with me. Appreciate the opportunity to dig a little deeper with it. But I also appreciate the fact that, Roger, you and I are a part of a church family that is seriously trying to equip these young people. And that's going to continue even this evening with our Wednesday night summer series that we are just right smack dab in the middle of. Our theme this year, this summer, is How Firm a Foundation. Lord willing, this evening at 7 o'clock p.m., Jim Deason from Coleman, Alabama, will be with us, and he will be talking about God's firm foundation even through fiery trials. This has just been a great series, and we live in a world where trials are all around us. This is a very relevant topic. We would love to have you join us in person at 7 o'clock p.m. this evening. Roger, what about this coming Sunday morning?
Sunday morning, I'll be preaching, and we often talk about, and we even talked about it here in this lesson today, about studying the Bible. Study the Bible. You hear preachers say that all the time. And for a lot of people, they've never been taught, how do I study the Bible? And so our lesson is where to start. And I'm going to give you three words, powerful words I think can change how you view the Bible the rest of your life. I'm not going to tell you now because I want you to come Sunday.
Sunday night, Lord willing, at 5 o'clock p.m., we will wrap up our chair series that we've been engaged in for the last several weeks. I know the Bible says, but. And this Sunday night, the last in that series at 5 o'clock p.m., how could a loving God possibly send anyone to hell? It's not the most pleasant thing to think about or to talk about, but it is a pressing question on the minds of many, many people. And Roger, you and I both know that we don't have to rely on our own ideas. Scripture has a lot to say about this, and it's important that we open up our Bibles and read together. So many opportunities to grow. We're excited for those opportunities. We encourage you to take advantage of those opportunities. If you've got questions at any point about anything that we talk about, we would love for you to reach out. We just want to help you be heaven bound. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We hope to see you this evening at 7 o'clock. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.